Brother Berge, why did you leave Pennsylvania and come to Virginia?
1st of April, 1910. Came here.
Uh-huh. And what?
You said you got here. Well, we called it that way.
17th of March.
We left on 17th of March, actually.
17th of March.
Yeah.
In 1910.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you want to come to Virginia? What was attractive to you about Virginia?
Milder climate.
You felt...
I always thought I couldn't stand as much cold as the average man.
Uh-huh.
You freeze my feet in wintertime.
Let's see. Am I recalling now? You came from Bucks
came
County?
From Doylestown. That's the county seat of Bucks.
Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
I wasn't raised there. I was raised at Blooming Glen, near the Blooming Glen Church.
Uh-huh.
But at the age of 18, I went to Doylestown to take up electrical work. And so I attended church at Doylestown. That's where I was ordained the first time.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back a little bit now. You were born in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, too?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what year was that?
1878.
You grew up there then on a farm as a
yes.
boy? Your father
was a farmer.
Farmer
and shoemaker.
And a shoemaker, too.
Yes.
I see.
Worked at that most in wintertime.
You mean the shoemaking in the wintertime?
Yes. He had a small farm.
Mm-hmm. How many were there in your family?
Four. Two boys and two girls.
I see. And when you were a boy, then you attended the Blooming Glen congregation. This was your church home at Blooming Glen.
That's where we were received in the church, too.
Mm-hmm. Your father was raised in Pennsylvania, was he? Or?
Yes.
This was his home. I see. What about your mother? What was her maiden name? Where did she come from?
She was from the same community. Her name was Delp.
Delp. I was wondering a little, too, about your younger life. You said you were ordained. You were married there, too.
Yes.
And what year was that?
Let's see. Well, 78 to 20. What did you
get? You were 20. Years old, or?
Yeah, I married at 20.
88, 98.
That's good, 1898, married in 1898.
Oh, yeah, 1898. Well, that's just about the turn of the century there.
Yeah.
Then you said a while ago you went to Doylestown to take electrical work. What had been your work before that?
Worked on farms in the neighborhood. My father had a small place. What I could earn away from home meant more to him than what I was able to do at home.
Uh-huh.
But by that, I say one thing, it makes young people raise eyebrows. And as a young man, I worked for a man that did hauling besides farming. Hauled hay to Philadelphia to feed the horses that pulled the trolley cars.
I see. So, instead of hauling gas in like we do, they hauled hay in, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Tell me a little about your trip to Virginia. You decided to move to Virginia because this was a milder climate down here. You left up there in March, you say, and
yes.
How did you travel?
A team.
Had a team of horses?
Yeah.
And a wagon?
Yeah.
Was this a covered wagon or a...
Yes, covered wagon.
What did it look like? Did it have a rounded top on it or...
It had been a bread wagon, and it was a little unusual wagon generally because of that. It had at the sides, right by the seat on each side, were glass doors about that wide and about that high.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a couple of impressions on the trip by being a rather odd wagon.
I see. Tell me about those impressions.
Let's see. Leaving Wilmington, the roads were not marked those days like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
I got a list of towns from the Philadelphia Evening Bulletin that I would strike from Philadelphia to Cape Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving Wilmington, there were telephone men working, and I asked the boss, supposed to be the boss, I guess, how far, whether I was on the right road to the next town, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Before he had a chance to answer, one of the workmen said, "Your gang's down the road about 2 miles." So when we got down about 2 miles, we saw a gang of gypsies in the woods.
I see. Your gang's down the road about 2 miles.
Yeah.
What about the conditions of the roads on the eastern shore then? Were they?
The roads were three sand ruts.
Three sand ruts.
Yeah, there were no paved roads or streets outside of the towns. Especially so coming down toward Cape Charles, just three sand ruts.
Let's see, then, you said you left up there middle of March and got here about the middle of April, is that right? It took about 3 or 4?
1 week.
1 week. Oh, I see. Let's see, I forgot the date you said, March. When did you leave in March up there?
17th.
Well, you it was still March then when you got here.
Yeah.
In the latter part of March, I see. Well, how, when you came, you came down to Cape Charles, and did they have a ferry going across there now?
There was no ferry across there at that time. You had to go on a Nippon-In boat.
A what?
New York and Philadelphia and Norfolk Railroad had a boat across from Cape Charles.
Was this a boat that hauled railroad cargo? Or?
Everything.
Oh, I see.
The only means of transportation there was between the two places.
Was it called train?
Did they haul railroad cars on that boat too?
No. They hauled them on barges.
Oh, I see.
Cars on barges. Just smaller freight.
Were there other people, other vehicles, teams and wagons that were on the boat when you were on too? Did you take your team and wagon right on the boat?
Yes, although they had to, I couldn't drive on like you do on a ferry.
Oh, I see.
They had to take the horses away from the wagon and take the wheels off the wagon so it would go in the door.
You mean you had to take your wheels off of your wagon and lower it?
That's it.
So it would go in the door.
So they carried it in then.
I see. Do you remember how much they charged you to make that crossing?
No, I don't remember. It wasn't much, though.
Was it? Wasn't much?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember just what it was. A certain amount of, well, a fare for the family. Regular fare for the family. And I don't remember what it was for the team. I can't tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Had you visited this part of Virginia earlier, I suppose?
Yes. I had been here a year before, and the place where Shattingers now live, and I bought a place together that was more than he cared for, and land was very cheap. He wanted me to buy the other half, which I did.
Mm-hmm. What did you have to pay for land here then?
My land, after he taking a part that had the buildings on, stood me $14 an acre.
Did that seem like a lot of money at that time, or was
no? That was considered cheap.
I suppose this was considerably cheaper than land would have cost in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
When you came here, Brother Berge, to the Mount Pleasant area, how did you find this area? Was this kind of like a frontier, you might say? Was it pretty primitive, or?
But largely so, although there were of our people here, you know.
Yes.
Her family came here in 1900.
I see.
And the name of Schwartz's around that. They were there here before, were they?
Who was the first Mennonite family to move to this city?
Yes,
the Millers, your family.
Schwartz is gone.
He came here in 1900.
When Schwartz came?
He came here in 1900.
Where Schwartz is here when you came. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's Leslie Schwartz's family, parents.
They were not Mennonites at that time. They joined the church after it was organized here.
Oh, I see. I think I had in mind that they were Mennonites when they came here.
I see.
Well, who are the other families that came then over that, say, 10-year period from 1900 to 1910 when you came? Who else was here?
The Bookwalders, the Laymans, the Kimes,
mm-hmm.
Wirtz. That Sam Weaver, Abe Landis's and Sam Landis's. Scott composed the colony when we came here.
Then there would have been the Millers and the Schwartzes, and you would have been possibly the 10th family then.
Something like that.
That came here in 1910.
Shattingers came here in 1909.
Uh-huh, I see.
Yeah, that was,
yes.
Did you, you began to farm then?
Right
as soon as you, how many acres did you buy from, was his name Abe Shattinger?
Wesley Shattinger.
Wesley?
Yes.
Is that Walter's father?
Yes. My half of the farm was 40 acres.
40 acres. And then, did you built the house that Esther and I lived in?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first house that you built here?
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been on your 40-acre farm at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you build that house shortly after coming here? Or
Yes. Did we get that summer so we can move in the fall?
Where did you live then in the meantime?
At Sam Weaver's. That's the place where Sam Kurtz's live now.
Oh, yes.
Or Christian Kurtz.
Where Christian Kurtz is now. So you lived there, or did you live with them? They lived there, and y'all just lived in with them for the summer while you were building your house.
Yeah.
Did you live with them, or did you live to yourself with them?
Yeah.
What do you mean by living with
you,
them?
You had house, two families in the same house, I guess.
Yes.
But they were living separately.
Yes.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. Then you farmed then for quite a few years after that on the 40-acre farm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Started butchering in winter time from Norfolk Market.
I see. What did you, when did you begin to go to market then? Shortly after?
In 1912.
2 years after you came, and then you went for many years, didn't you?
40.
40 years. I see. That's a long time.
Of course, several of the latter years I went with Titus working for him.
Oh, yes.
But it was all included.
Was the church located there next to the Kurtz property when you came in 19?
It was built at that time, that spring. It was finished that spring then and had the first service in the 1st of May, but 1st of May.
Then, the church was just about finished in when you came.
Yeah.
They were just working on it and completing it when you came, I see. And who were the ministers here at that time?
Joe Wirt and Amy Wanger.
Joe Wirt and A.D. Wanger. And let's see, were you a deacon or...
Yes, I was a deacon when I came.
When you came here. So, were there no other deacons here at that time?
Let's see. Were they here? Were they here before I came? Along that time, I forget now whether it was before, maybe soon after, Isaac Eby was a deacon. That was Jake Eby's father.
Oh, I see.
He died.
Let's see, did the Jake Eby's lived where the Nashes live now?
Yes.
In that
Jake Eby built that house.
I see. So his father would have been a deacon here, but you're not sure whether he was here when you came or not.
No, I don't remember that. He came either a short time before or a short time afterward. I don't. Mm-hmm. Kind of runs in my mind that it was a short time afterward.
I see.
Of course, there was another deacon here, Timothy Wenger.
Was he here when you came?
Yeah, he came here the year before I did.
Oh, I see.
Isaac Eby didn't serve here as deacon.
I see.
Did he? I thought. Think so? Well, maybe.
Did you, how did they do at that time? You moved your membership here from the Franconia Conference, or what conference was?
Yeah.
Were you? Did you transfer your leadership, your deacon? You became a part of this congregation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right away.
Did
right.
You think you either was a deacon here? Did you think that Isaac was a deacon here?
I didn't think he served as deacon.
Well, maybe I'm mistaken. I thought he did.
He was an old man then. And,
no, I don't want to fail here.
No, no, you add your little bit too.
I don't want to get recorded.
Oh, you know. Well, I don't need it too much. Yeah.
But I think he was just sister of the deacon work. Some in a way, I mean,
all right.
Not much.
All right.
But
you
did the vision work, didn't
you? I couldn't tell.
Well, then shortly after you came, there would have been, if he came after you came, then there would have been Timothy Wanger, been one deacon. You would have been a deacon, and Brother Eby would have been a deacon too. Then you were ordained a minister then when, here?
22.
In 22, that would have been 12 years after you moved here from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I see.
Well, why were you ordained a minister?
Yeah, now tell me a bit about why you were ordained and the details about it.
It was largely the work of A.D. Wenger. And
he went to Harrisonburg
to take charge of the school.
Yes.
Would have left the congregation without a minister. And it was largely through him that I was ordained. And I was always a strong advocate of the lot, but there was nobody to lot with.
I see. How did you work through this?
I didn't work it there. The only votes.
I see. Only votes that were cast were for you.
Yeah. Well, there was one other, I believe, that the bishop from the valley had charged, thought to withdraw his choice.
I see.
Which left no choice then.
So you were ordained in 1922. At what time of the year?
September 1st.
September 1st. That's the fall.
When he went to Harrisonburg.
I see. That would have been just about the time, or just a few days before he left, I guess, for the school year.
Short time.
Was that the first year that A.D. had gone to Harrisonburg to work as the president of the college?
Yes.
I see. He had...
That was the beginning of his work.
Of his work there at the college.
Yes.
I see.
Don't forget Timothy Wenger was deacon here.
Yeah, we mentioned him just a moment ago. Timothy and Brother Eby. And then Clayton here would have been the third deacon. Then Eby, Brother Eby, how long did he live then? Was he still a deacon when you were ordained minister?
No.
No.
He died.
He had died in the meantime.
Maybe he died?
Yeah.
I don't know, you can tell him when he died.
Well, I couldn't tell just when he died.
But he was an older man when you came.
Yeah.
When you came in 1910. So let me see now. After A.D. left then, you would have been the minister here, and Timothy Wanger would have been the deacon. Were there any other ordained men here at that time?
No, not outside of A.D.
He died. Sam Brunt moved here.
No, until Sam Brunt moved here some years later, of course, that was.
You don't remember when that was, do you?
No, I don't. Do you?
No,
I don't remember what year it was he came here.
Were the people, the 10 or 12 Mennonite families who lived here, most of them were farmers, or all of them were farmers, or how did they make their living?
Most of them were, but the Landises and the Warners were carpenters. Mm-hmm. They did what building was done around here.
Mm-hmm, I see. How about...
Steve Landis, that was. Sam Landis had a store up there where he tore down the store.
Oh, Miles...
Carson
Hostetler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Landis had been there, didn't
he? He had the store there for a while.
Landis, you say his name was?
Sam Landis. He was a brother to him. Eve Landis, the contractor.
Oh, yes.
Carpenter.
Well, then, both of them were Mennonites.
Yes.
And Sam operated the store there, which was a kind of a country community store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about other people
he,
in the...
He even built that store up there. Sam Adams had a store there by his house.
Maybe so.
I don't think he ever did that.
Did the Eby's operate a store too?
Mm-hmm. Part of the time he didn't.
Yeah, I believe Jake Eby did build
that
store.
I think Jake Eby built
that store. Sam Landis must have had what store business he did in the house.
Where did the Landises live? Where did the Landis
live?
Where Carson's host didn't live.
No, he lived there. Yeah? No, he lived there at the... Where?
Did one of the Landis live?
Where Matthew lived, and Warren lived in the other house there.
Where?
He took those two houses there.
You mean Stanley Warfel's property there, and Matthew's mm-hmm. on the other property now. I see.
In that way.
Yeah.
The Warren lived in one of those houses, and Sam Landis in the other one. Did he?
I'm not sure about that.
I think you can tell him there. I think. I don't want to be too sure now.
So we would have builders and persons who were in the store business, and then farmers. Of course, you were in the market along with your farming, or in market
yeah.
marketing in Norfolk. Were there any other businesses or work that these people did that you remember?
That would cover it, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What about, I was going to ask you a little while ago, were there quite a few other persons in the community? And how did these people, what did they think of the Mennonites coming in here over a 10-year period?
They mostly praised them.
They did. You had, generally speaking, the Mennonites were well accepted and
yes.
appreciated for their way of life.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
The Methodists, most of them, I guess most of them around here were Methodists, wasn't they? Church down here,
mm-hmm.
or the Baptist Church at Francis, somewhere.
So the Methodist Church here at the airfield would have been here at that time, and the Baptist Church over at Mount at Fentress would have been here at that time.
Yeah.
And the Mennonites, of course, were moving into this Mount Pleasant area here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did do you know how the Mennonites came to choose Mount Pleasant here? Did your father have anything to do with this? Or?
I suppose through land agent. I don't know much about.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of small when
I did. Oh, yeah.
But I think it was that way.
Well, you know, here's a very, I think, Mount Pleasant here, in this part of the, what you think of old Norfolk County, is really a very nice, a very desirable place. Farming land here, I think, is just as good as it is anywhere in the area. I suppose in those days, going to market, trip to Norfolk was involved a great deal more than it does today, eh?
Yes.
Later. Tell me about a market day. How did you? What happened on a market day?
Well, we were at different places in time. Part of the time on Brewer Street, and for a while on City Hall Avenue there by the pumping station.
Mm-hmm. What time in the morning did you leave here? And
got up at 1 o'clock, fed the team, and got loaded and started off then, so as to be there when folks begin to come around.
You mean you'd have to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning to get ready to go to market?
Yeah, to feed the horse. That first thing you do was feed your team.
What, you went once a week?
Yes.
On what day of the week?
Saturday.
You got up at 1 o'clock Saturday morning and got the team fed and got loaded up there over an hour or two and left then for Norfolk, what, around 3 or 4 o'clock?
No, not that early. It would take quite a while to get everything done up and driven in there. In summertime, maybe folks would begin to come about 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
In wintertime, maybe a little later.
So what time would you leave home then? When you're all loaded and you're on the way.
Oh, about 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, and you get in there around 5:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
Were you setting up then? Were you in a building then in there, or just on the street?
On the street.
Mm-hmm.
Back to wagon up to the curb and your table right back of it, and you're standing between there. You can reach in your wagon to get things and put them in your showcase or table, whatever you have.
Yeah, I see. That's interesting. You know, I can still remember, Brother Berge, a little bit of this I don't know if I know what the name of the street was. You know that little narrow street that used to go around behind the old city market? I can remember Ernest used to pull his truck in there, and I guess maybe you all did
Brewer
too.
Brewer Street?
Yeah, Brewer Street. I remember when there were trucks parked along that street there. That wasn't, maybe more than 25 years ago, I guess. Something like that.
Then the last years we were in the market house.
Yeah.
For several years.
Yeah, in the old market building.
I'd like to see a little bit more about these buildings. In the Atlantic, there's a building up there where Carson lived.
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
You think it was Evie's store there?
But he didn't build a house, did he?
Did the store and the house?
Evie didn't build a house, no. Either he ran his building or had been there before, I don't know.
No, I don't think he'd been there before. And who lived back there where Chester Winter's place? Did
the grandmas
live back there a while?
Yes, they lived there a while. Ira Miller's parents a while.
Mm-hmm.
Ira Miller's parents lived there.
Yeah, I recall Ira talking about he lived back there in that house. I remember that.
But I don't think
that
Stan Knight lived there, too.
Was your father in the store business too by 1910 or?
The store was here on the move here.
This old store building, Bible meetings held then?
We didn't have them every year, did we?
No, I think about every year. Sometimes we had the Bible conference.
Yeah, we had the what was called Bible conference those days more frequently.
Was this considered, was the Bible conference did it take the place of revival, or was it considered to be a revival time, or was that something different than revival meetings?
Yes, it was different.
Well, I think we often had revival in connection with it, didn't we?
Maybe so.
We had specific ministers that would come in for the revival conferences. an evangelistic
messages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other words, right in the Bible conference.
In the evening, maybe. The Bible conference would be in the daytime, too.
Oh, the Bible conference was not only in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? You'd go to church in the afternoon and the evening, or even in the morning, too? I was going to ask you earlier about the church. Services in those days were held every Sunday. What about Sunday evening?
You have been having young people's meeting all the time, haven't you?
And what about, did you have a midweek service then too, or not?
Back? No.
No.
We used to have in the home some, didn't we?
Yes, sometimes.
Sometimes in the home.
Yeah.
Cottage meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me, Brother Brady, do you recall, you said a moment ago, you know, that revival time, or maybe these Bible conferences, there seem to often be a moving of the Spirit, and people were convicted.
Yeah.
Do you remember, were there any, you know, times of special, do you remember in your experience as a pastor, or even earlier when you were still a deacon, that there were times when the Lord seemed to especially pour out His Spirit and there was an ingathering?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember especially who the minister was then, or any details about it?
Well, one special one that I'm thinking about was, what's the man's name from California? Booker.
James from Oregon. Booker. Oregon. Was he from Oregon or California?
Oregon.
Yeah.
Yes. He seems to be instrumental in
helping people too.
Helping people, yes.
Here's something else I wanted to ask you. Would you say that people in your earlier years as a minister, were people more emotional with their religion? Do you feel that maybe in those days you saw more tears in the church than you have recently?
Yes.
Could you elaborate on that? Why do you think this is the case? Do you think people just took God more seriously, or our people?
Yes, that's what I think was the cause of it.
Uh-huh. But you have observed that there were more tears and more emotion in the church earlier in your life than there is today?
Yes.
What about in Pennsylvania? Do you remember as a boy and in your younger years that this happened occasionally in the church, where people wept, or
yes,
or where emotion was expressed?
Yes.
You remember incidents of that?
Yes.
Can you how did people weep, or how did people express their emotions?
Largely so. Oftentimes they're hardly unable to express themselves.
Mm-hmm. Were there more amens and this kind of thing?
No, seldom heard that.
Seldom heard that.
In our church.
Mm-hmm.
I had much of my early Christian experience in the Methodist church, because our church had no services of any kind except in preaching every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And as a young person who liked to go elsewhere, I went to the Methodist church a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that I can lay to the feet of the Methodist people from my early experience.
Yes, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. As you look over the history of this community, you know, from 1900 to now, here we are in 1971. Do you have, you look over it, and you're old enough to do that. Most people can't do that. Do you have good feelings about this, the Mennonites being at Mount Pleasant? Would you say that the Lord has blessed us here, and that we have accomplished some things for the Lord, and that would you feel that it was God's will, you know, that all this happened here? How do you feel about that?
Definitely so.
Mm-hmm.
If it wouldn't sound too much like self-praise, I might say that in my own experience, there are things that I can definitely praise the Lord for that I believe I wouldn't like to express in detail.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I appreciate you talking with me like this, Brother Berge. I'd want to assure you that if I ever do write this little article or booklet that I would like to write someday, that I would try to write it carefully and prayerfully and try to show that that God has met us here in some significant ways in the past. And I like to be, you know, a bit optimistic about the present and the future too. I'm sure that you know very well, probably better than I do, even by experience, that the Lord is still on His throne today, and He's promised, you know, to the end to be with us. And so even though we do face a great many problems in the church, and, you know, right here at Mount Pleasant too, I think that we can looking to the future, also trust the Lord. How do you feel about that?
I believe very firmly what when Christ said there would be few to be saved, that's what it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
Comparatively speaking,
right.
It seems like the Christian professing church in general, now taking all denominations in consideration, are departing from the faith at a rapid rate.
Yes, this is true, I think.